Oh.
All of them except for the popular Timberlake, and Lance Bass is steadily producing a lot of like cool documentaries. He's
right.
like producing a documentary about maybe it's one of those Pray the Gay Away things, or I don't know. He does actually. He seems to have settled into a pretty cool niche or niche.
Well,
good
like
thing he didn't go to space. Am I right? In Russia, like, dude, well, they hate gays there, and he's like a really famous gay guy.
He's a gay.
Yeah, that's horrible. You can use that though. Go ahead.
All right. I'm Fred Earhart.
And I'm Keith David.
And you're listening to Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 76. Hi, Keith.
Now, out of curiosity, did you start with, and I'm Fred Earhart, and then I said, and I'm Keith David?
I don't know, but we're going to fix it in post, because we've done this enough.
No, this is fine. Keith David, yeah. You know who Keith David is, right?
No, I have no idea who Keith David is.
You don't know who Keith David is?
Not by name.
Do a Google search right now. You know Keith David, voice actor, actor, They Live?
Oh, the Riddick.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I thought that's who you meant, but I wasn't entirely sure.
Literally in everything?
Was he Goliath in Gargoyles?
Yeah.
I think he was, right?
Yeah. Gargoyles, jeez. No, but he plays a really prominent role in Saints Row 4.
Right. Keith, you've changed.
Yeah. Or I play a really prominent role in Saints Row 4. Also, my... I had three testicles removed, and that's why my voice is all of a sudden this high.
Just three?
Yeah. So I guess if people haven't figured it out, I'm back again.
Two in a row.
Yeah. I think I like the option of having this here. You're like an ex-girlfriend with poor self-esteem, Fred. You're always willing to take me back.
I've always strived for that. So you're listening to Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast this week on the show, in addition to our lovely co-host, John Anderson. I am totally steamrolling you.
Special for me being back. You're like doing all the tropes I hate.
Trying to be proper.
No, Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast. Oh,
literally. God, I'm literally doing all those things.
The Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast.
The Fantastic.
No, fantastic.
It was Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast. You hated it when it was missing one of the two. It either had to be the Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast or just Fantastic Neighborhood.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the show. Welcome to the big show.
Big show. So this week on the show, we have Consumption Junction. We're going to do a game club for Thomas Was Alone and probably some cleanup at the end.
Did you do a community thing?
No, I didn't.
God, you're the worst.
I'm the worst.
We could
That's
just make
right.
it up.
But let's take a drink break, and we'll be right back with Consumption Junction. Good drink. And we're back with Consumption Junction. Did you miss me, John?
More than you'll ever know.
So, John, what have you been playing this week? You got a lot more gaming in this week because I was out for a good chunk of it.
Yeah, I played two things a lot, besides Thomas Was Alone, which I played also a lot.
I think you played it the maximum amount that game will allow you to play it.
Yeah, I've put in a good 30 or 40 hours worth of gaming since we spoke last 2 weeks ago, which is a lot.
That is
not,
a lot.
And not even, I haven't really taken the bus much, so like no Project Cross Zone in there. Basically where we stopped there. So I think we'll go chronologically. I start Dragon's Crown.
Okay.
Booby game with the boobs.
Listen, that's just one of the characters.
Also, the Amazon is kind of weird. Like, she's got, like, Chun-Li thighs, like, blown out the max, like, and is wearing a thong, which is, like, totally, like, what you would want to fight dragons in.
Yeah, no, thong. With all that, everyone else is fully armored and she's in the buff.
Yeah, so maybe it's not as bad as it seemed. It's still pretty bad, though.
Yeah, I've seen some more stuff come out about that game besides the art style.
It's like, when you go and see, it's the poses, it's the, when you go and see the female shopkeeper, like, you can, because there's a free cursor, like a adventure game cursor that you control with the right stick, and you can, like, click her boobies and it says something funny.
Isn't there also, like, a during, like, the level end screen or something like that, there's, like, cheesecake photos of people that you can, like, tickle or something like that?
I don't... Probably. There's some bad stuff. But the game itself is really fun. And actually, despite, like, how bad that stuff is, the art style is actually really cool, right? Like...
Right. It's a combination of the art and the animation methods that they use,
yeah,
right?
It's like, kind of, like... It reminds me... It's, like, Boris... What's his name? Vallejo?
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like... The old Conan stuff and, like, those old fantasy drawings and obviously, like, I mean, like, the biggest inspiration has got to be, like, heavy metal and shit.
Right. It's anime-inspired van art, the video game.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's very, like, they draw, there's a bit of, like, anime twinkled in, like, fairy dust, but brain fart. But, like, you know, it's very heavily that van art style, which I fucking personally, like, love. There is a lot of gross stuff there now that I'm older and, like, less appreciative of, like, gross stuff. But, like, also, like, it's kind of, it's fucking fun, which, you know, I mean, it's ditto for the other thing I played this week. Like, it's not PC, but I don't think every fucking piece of entertainment necessarily has to be. It's, like, when it's, like, I don't know, almost kind of malicious about it. The way the boobs bounce is pretty hilarious. It's stupid.
Well, it's like hyper, right? Like, everything's, like, way blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
And I mean, even the male characters are blown out of the proportion, not as sexually as the female characters, I guess, but, like, their proportions are, like, you know, they're, like, 120% up top and then, like, toothpick legs.
Yeah, but there, you know, and there is a difference between that. Like, a joystick commenter would be like, oh, but the men are expected to live up to these proportions. And the difference is that one is a very sexualized thing and one is not.
Right. Well, I think it's also the in-game, from what I've seen, like, the sorceress is, like, the main culprit of the sexualization in the game. And, like, I think they're very self-aware of it. Like, the character knows it and does all the poses and all that nonsense.
Yeah, the archer, who's a female elf, is, like, really pretty tasteful. The Amazon, I think, is, like, it's cheesy, but it is what it is. So it's really, like, a cross between, like, it's like a side-scrolling Diablo meets, like, those Capcom Dungeons and Dragons games, which were recently re-released.
Right.
It's a fucking ton of fun, and I wish I had some friends who are playing it on PS3, because I would love to just, this would be a great game to, like, hey, let's, you know, we'll just hang out online for a while and fucking play this.
Yeah. It sort of reminded me of Castle Crashers from when I saw the gameplay videos.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't think Castle Crashers has probably aged that well, though. I think if we went back and played it right now, we'd be like, eh.
Castle Crashers was good, except that it was too patterned. Like, if you were to just jump into it right now, it'd be a blast. But if you have played it before, like, going back to it's really tough.
Yeah, this is dumb fun, but the art, the quote RPG elements, the dungeon crawlerness of it, like, that you're given individual quests and challenges in levels, and, like, the way the town structure works, like, because there's a hub and stuff.
Right.
It's not just a dumb arcade beat 'em up. There's a lot of game there for $40 or $50. I was kind of disappointed that I found out that it's cross-play, meaning your save can go between Vita and PS3, but it's not cross-buy.
Oh, so you still need a copy.
Yeah, I would still, if I bought a Vita, I'd still need to buy this on Vita. I really think this would be a great game to play on Vita, too, because it's just kind of, you could easily suspend this and not really be a big deal, right?
Right.
Like, just put it down for a while.
Is it a particularly deep game, though? Like how much playtime do you think you're going to get out of this?
I don't know. I'm like 4 or 5 hours in, and this, I'm only like I'm only a few levels deep because I'm going back into them.
Okay.
And there's like a lot of stuff that I do in the hub town, like resurrect people and buy stuff. It's dumb. It's fun. I kind of want to buy a Vita. Isn't Thomas Was Alone, is that on Vita?
Yeah, it was released on the PSN, and I think it was a free game through PSN for some time.
I think I got it off one of the Humble Bundles a while ago.
Yeah, I did as well.
Fuck, dude, can we just talk about this game? Oh, man.
We'll get there.
Oh, well, daddy's in love.
Can we talk about the polar opposite of this game first?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So you're playing Crackdown 3, Saints Row 4.
Yeah, Crackdown 3, : Saints Row 4. I say Crackdown 3 because of... You played Crackdown, right?
I played the first one.
Yeah. Orbs, bro. Wasn't it just fun to, like, jump around and get the orbs?
You like collecting, do you?
So there are, like, 1,300 orbs or clusters in this game. I have, like, close to 1,100 of them. It was the point where I was like, you know, I need to stop. I'll do this after I beat it because I'll change the gender of the character to get that achievement. And I like to do those, like, mop-up stuff as a lady anyway.
Is that a cleaning reference? Are you saying women need to clean?
No. I just, you gotta swap eventually. Well, there's a huge spoiler about this game, and it's pretty early on. So if you don't want to know a really, really early spoiler that goes along with character creation, I'd skip ahead like 30 seconds to a minute.
Is this the voices thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you know, I was going to play as the female character I finished Saints Row 3 with, but instead of having the seventh option for a voice being a zombie, it's Nolan North. And it just says Nolan North voice.
Yeah, it was man 1, man 2, man 3, Nolan North.
No, it's man 1, man 1 through 3, female 1 through 3, and then Nolan North.
Okay.
And so I was like, fuck it, I got to change back to a dude so I can play as Nolan North. So that's what I'm doing. Also, my wife looked at me. So when I was, end spoiler, when I imported my female character that I finished Saints Row 3 with, my wife was like, did you make her boobs that big? And I told her, I was like, you know, I don't think I did. There must have been something in between when I transferred the character from the third game to the fourth game that made them that.
So no, the proportions are different. Chris Giselle at work is telling me about this game, and he told me that his female character, he had to modify her because her chest was just way too large.
Okay.
I didn't remember it being that big in the last game.
Okay, so I'm not being crazy.
I wonder if that's intentional. I wonder if that's like a little in-joke.
Probably.
I mean, this game is nothing but, right?
Yeah, but yeah, so this game, like, there's some referential stuff in Thomas Was Alone that I was, you know, you're like, oh, that's fucking clever as fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, goddamn. There is that stuff in Saints Row 4, too. A lot of it's really on the nose, though. You know our stance on referential humor?
Right. I mean, this whole game is just references for the most part from what I've been hearing. Like,
a lot of it is. Luckily, enough of the parodies are acceptable enough to play. There's some really heavy parody stuff of... there's a whole Metal Gear mission.
Right.
Right? One of the characters' loyalty missions. So I hope I might be spoiling that for you, but you figure it out about 10 seconds into the mission that's what it is. So,
and then, I mean, the game description is that the whole game takes place in basically the Matrix, right?
It does. It does. Yeah. There's some pretty heavy riffs on, Mass Effect, the Mass Effect series, like particularly the romance aspect of that. which is pretty funny. And it's kind of really funny the way it is a commentary on the way games handle romance in such like an AB. It's pretty clever. Right. So I think I can still sit down and watch an episode of Family Guy sometime and find it really hilarious. I don't think I could watch, you know, Scary Movie 7 or Epic Movie, but then I think about like the first Scary Movie is really funny. The Not Another Teen Movie is really pretty funny. Like a couple of those earlier ones are pretty funny, right?
There were some breakout ones when
Airplane's funny, right?
Yeah, like when they were doing it because they genuinely had something and they had some jokes that they had to tell. Those movies are great. When it was like the money grab era where they put out one or two of those a year and then they're like, put Paris Hilton in it, get the Kardashians on the line. That's where it started to break down.
No, this is good though. This is they execute really well on it. You know, would you think a Matrix parody could work 15 years later? No, but it does. And the reason is because the Matrix concept is not a bad concept. It's that those second two movies were so bad.
Yeah,
right?
True. Yeah, no, indeed. Well, the Animatrix wasn't terrible.
I think like two of those vignettes were pretty good.
That's canon, right? That counts.
I guess. So, but the other thing is, like, you know, this thing started as an expansion. It's been 18 months or something since the last Saints Row came out. Maybe 2 years, right?
Well, I mean, you were playing... You were playing it... We were still recording this... We started the podcast already when you started playing it, I think.
Maybe, because... Oh, yeah. Because... Oh, I remember, because people were talking about it as Game of the Year in 2011, so I played it early 2012.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game is... It's, you know, they're using all the old assets, right? If this was started as an expansion, I would feel more comfortable if it was an expansion, not the $100 special edition I got. That being said, there's $60 worth of fucking game there because I'm, you know, 25 hours in already. But, like, it's a lot of it's that collect-y or, like, the main missions and the loyalty missions are really good. But there's not a lot of them. There's a lot of the activity missions that were really shitty and boring in the third one, right? But the fucking orbs are great. I'm like torn. Like, I'm still glad I spent the money on it, and I'm glad this studio still gets to make games. And if this means they get to make a proper Saints Row 5, then that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. I think they'd have to because we're going next gen already.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm a couple missions from the end, and I'm really pleased with it.
Yeah.
But the way it... I don't know how much you've heard about like some of the mechanical issues of this game. I don't want to say mechanical issues.
I've heard them, but usually it's in contrast to someone talking about how great the game is, and then they sort of go like, "Yeah, it's got some bugs."
I can count the number of times my Xbox 360 has like crashed in game prior to this on one hand. And this is easily double this just from one game. Like, it'll crash my fucking Xbox.
That's
nuts.
For a disc game, too. That's not good.
So there was... Saints Row 3 ran kind of rough in parts. So imagine you take that game and you make it so you have superpowers so you can get from one part of the world to the other part of the world much quicker, right? So that's an issue. Did I mention you have superpowers in this game?
Yes, you did. Just now, I heard it.
Every time you collect an orb, it saves and it freezes just ever so slightly when you save.
Oh, just that sudden, like, the jitter? Like the
Yeah. But that being said, I mean, it is really, really fun.
Are you running it off of disk or hard drive?
I didn't install it. My hard drive's so full of all the free games.
Yeah, same.
I should just delete some. You can always re-download them.
That's true. Yeah, dude, I mean, I think... I don't know that this is a game for me because I didn't love Saints Row 3, and this does sound like a lot like just a bigger version of the same thing.
How far did you get into Saints Row 3? You got through the introduction mission into the open world?
Yeah. That's where it broke down for me.
I think you gotta go farther than that. It's so freaking dumb, man.
John, what is that you're holding on my webcam feed?
It's a dubstep gun.
Oh, it's so great.
Do you see the laser?
that's actually blinding my screen.
Oh, that's pretty awesome.
Did they literally recorded a song?
This
just
is
for
different.
The gun?
This is actually different. The one that's on this physical gun is actually different from the one that's in the game.
All right.
So the dubstep gun, like, it's so good. It's so fucking good. It's so good, dude. This game is great. So this is the I didn't follow through with that unboxing video I was supposed to do. But this is the dubstep doomsday button.
You know, that is totally worth the purchase price, I think, alone.
Yeah.
Because that's like, such a great office toy. I'd keep that around the desk.
It's so fun. They're just, I mean, granted, most of the jokes are dubstep-oriented, but that's fucking great. And, you know, there's just some of the, you know, it is like an Austin Powers 2 in that, you know, a lot of the jokes from the first one are there.
Right.
But fucked if some of the sing-along stuff... Man, that shit is funny as fuck. Like, it's just cute. It's so much fun.
I wonder if once you get to the end of the game, if it's going to, like, go balls up with all the references or anything like that. Like,
it's got to. Like,
they've got to be saving it for something, right?
Spoiler warning for Saints Row 3, because fuck you if you haven't played it anyway. But at the end of 3, you're racing to the target, to the thing you're doing, and it's playing like that Bonnie, what's her name, Bonnie Tyler? I Need a Hero.
Yeah. I don't know who it is, but I know the song.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's, the music, oh, dude, the music is so good. The radio stations, there's a reggae station that's whatever, there's a classical station, which is always fun to listen to, because the DJs are so weird. The dubstep station this time has the reporter from the old news station, like, talking about serious world events and why dubstep is the only thing that, like, can get us through these dark times. there's Mad Decent Radio, which is Riff Raff's label, and Riff Raff is the DJ. You know who Riff Raff is, right?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It took a second there, because for whatever reason, I was thinking of some cartoon character.
Yeah, well, Heathcliff? I don't know. No, but...
No, there was a character named Riff Raff on the Heathcliff show. Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Yeah. Let's see. There's a modern rock station, whatever, and then there's, like, the mix station, which has, like, your just mixture of a lot of different music and stuff, and it's good. It's so good.
That's cool.
I actually really recommend this game, but I don't think I recommend it for you, Fred. You have to have played 3 to play this.
Sure, I believe that. Although, for those interested, you can get 3 now, I think, for like $3 or something like that.
If anybody
Steam,
wants
probably.
3, I'm not even kidding. Just email me at john@fantasticneighborhood.com. I have a code, so I'll give you a code for it.
Yeah. But so final question on this, and then we should move on. We were talking about the release date and all that earlier and how it came out like 18 months after the fact or whatever. Do you think that's because they needed to race Grand Theft Auto 5?
No. There's no competition here. They did that because they needed... Well, I mean, they started this when it was still part of THQ. They
right.
needed fucking
yeah, they
currency,
need to,
right?
They need money.
Now that it's owned by Deep Silver, I still think that sort of plays out in that Volition really needs to prove its worth. And this was obviously already a profitable game. It's topping the charts. They've already said before, like, you know, we're not trying to do GTA 5, right? We're not trying to do GTA. They do their thing. We do our thing, and there's totally room for both. And I'm a fan of both. Right.
Right.
I just
feel like you can't really play both at the same time because they're open world. They're going to keep it scratches the same itch to some extent.
I think this is
if you want a sandbox, right? Like if you just want to run around and do stuff. They both have that they fill that need, and then on top of that though, they're
just different needs.
They're time commitments though is the thing.
Like, yeah. I know I'm going to put way more time into GTA 5, though. I put 70 hours into GTA 4.
Right. Did you get
the key to the fucking city, dude. I have a literal physical key that Rockstar sent me.
Did you get
for 100%ing that game?
The Coke spoon or whatever they have?
Is that this one? I don't know if that's this.
It was one prior, I think.
No, that was Vice City, bro.
Oh, I think that was Vice City.
Yeah, you know, I have the incredibly super special edition pre-ordered. And for what it's worth, I have really solid intel that there's no noticeable difference between the Xbox and PS3 versions. So I was talking to a friend who has seen both, and he said that should not sway your decision that you should buy it on the console that you play online the most on. Because the GTA, I'm talking about GTA now, obviously, but GTA Online is apparently fucking amazing. Like, bonkers fun.
That sounds like, that sounds fun, John.
You're not gonna fucking play it.
I'm not gonna play either of them, no. But that's good. I'm willing to admit I'm not an open world guy. Although, can I tell you, like, I saw this very large conversation taking place on Facebook about, is it Payday 2?
Yeah.
Which is a game I would never have considered buying or playing, and now that I've seen a bunch of people talking about it, I'm like, maybe I should try this game. Because, like, so many people are talking about how fun that game is. I'm shocked, but...
It looks fine. I don't really want to play it. I don't really want to play that.
Yeah, it doesn't really... heists are not my thing.
Heat the movie.
Yeah.
Or heat the game. Heat the movie.
Heat the movie, the game.
Yeah.
So, I didn't get to play all that many games this past couple of weeks because...
I bet you played Magic.
I played some games. I just didn't play video games. Yeah, I went to Gen Con, and it was a really good year this year. So me and Ed went out to Gen Con. We did 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And a lot of people do 5 days now, but like that just feels like a bit of overkill because it's like the pregame to Gen Con. Bigger than I think it's ever been. Gen Con this year is, I think it was second only to the Super Bowl for moneymakers in Indianapolis, for the business that it actually brings in. And I don't know, man. It's almost dauntingly large this year. Like, the showroom floor was, like, I think twice the size it was, maybe not last year, but the year before that. They had a huge, huge gamer hall. They actually renovated the convention center that they hold it in to be, because it's also the football arena. But it's like twice the size that it was when we started going, like 10, 11 years ago. And so just craziness all over the place, cosplay all over the place. There was a giant balloon Cthulhu that they actually made as a costume that they walked around in at some point with. There's a lot of charity stuff going on. It's like anything that can, it'll scratch your itch while you're there. So I went to play Magic.
Somebody cosplaying to scratch my itch. If you get what I'm putting down there. Trigun.
Oh, come dude, on. there was at least 3 Trigun costumes that we saw. There was one that was really good. It was actually a woman cosplaying it, but she had like the right hair and all that, and she actually had like the facial features.
I don't know why I even brought it up. I don't even know what a fucking Trigun is.
All you need to know is that at any given convention, there's always
good
one bad Trigun
and
one
bad
one.
Bad Trigun.
That's always the case. But yeah, so I went to play Magic, and play Magic I did. I played in like 5 scheduled events and 6 or 7 like just rapid fire ones that you just get into a queue and they just shoot off when they get 8 people. I won 2 of the scheduled events.
Tell us about the prizes, Fred.
I walked out of the con with like 2.5 boxes of the new set, and then I did a lot of trading, and I finished my vintage power set.
This is what I really come to this show for, Fred.
I know.
I really want to do to get out of this? Fuck.
Not have your button not work. I hate you, John Anderson. Anyway, so Enough about what I played, though. Like, so here's some interesting things we actually saw at Gen Con this year. Do you remember at PAX we were talking about, like, how board game names are really uninventive?
Yeah.
That kept up.
War Wizards. Wiz yeah. War.
Well, there's... Wiz there was,
War,
like,
well, yo, fucking Wiz War seriously is one, though.
Wiz War was, I think, actually a game that they were promoting while we were there. There's a real oversaturation within the board gaming industry. Like, are you taking a fucking photo? What are you doing?
What are you talking about? You can't see me. You're not my mom.
I could see you. I'm just going to talk through your nonsense, sir. So, there's a real oversaturation in board games as far as that market is concerned. Like, there's just way too much noise. You can't find a board game that you'd want to play. Like, there's just too many new ones. They all over the place. They're getting too big and too, like, yo, remember when you can walk into a toy store and buy a board game for like $20 and play it and have fun? Like,
no.
Every board game.
No.
Yeah.
No. Right, who the fuck does that?
I don't know. But every board game at.
Who has friends they can play a fucking board game with? I don't have any friends.
That's true.
I just moved across the country. This is why I hang out with you on the internet.
But yeah, like, every, like, dude, there's seriously, like, there's the board games, and then there's living card games, and then there's collectible board games, and so on and so forth, and everything is, like, a $200 commitment now. It's crazy. Like, they're just way too much money to get involved in the first place. The other game that really killed it this year was HeroClix at Gen Con. I don't know if you're familiar.
I've talked to Eddie about it, and I've tried to get it, like, understand it, but...
Well, it's a game that's been around forever. The company that made it actually went out of business for a while, and then I think it got, like, either bought out, or, like, the name got bought out, or it got resurrected. The game had, by far, I think, the most energetic crowds and the longest lines at the whole con. Like, people really got into it, and the prices are of the chase figures are, like, getting out of hand for that game, which is usually a sign that it's growing faster than they can support it. So I may start taking a look at that game.
Was there any limited Cards Against Humanity stuff that you got?
So the Cards Against Humanity guys were there. They didn't have any special ed stuff. They did have, if you backed Temkin's game on Kickstarter, the werewolf game, they had like a trial demo packet for you, which is like early prototype stuff, which is kind of cool. I got one for Chris because he backed it. On the fourth day, they put up a sign that just said, like, we don't have any more product, fuck off. And behind that sign was a bunch of product. They just decided that they were done selling and they wanted to, like, walk the con floor. Which I think they've done at other conventions now.
Whatever.
John, you're looking deeply at me. You just want to talk about Thomas, don't you?
No. You know, Gen Con, it's, like, it's not video gamey enough for me, right? You know... That's like my primary interest, right?
I mean, they do have games, but it's not the primary focus. Like, while we were there, they actually had a Mike Tyson's Punch-Out speed run. Like, oh, no, well, let me rephrase that. It was a contest. Ran for like 3 days, and in that 3 days, whoever had the quickest time to beat Glass Joe got the prize.
Nice. You know, speaking of conventions, Fred, you know what I'm doing this weekend, right?
I hate you. Yes, John, I know what you're doing this weekend. You're going to PAX Prime.
I'm going to proper PAX.
Proper PAX.
I'm only going... So, honestly, I'm only going one day. I'm going Saturday. It's 4 days here. I really don't like them.
Who, Gabe and Tycho?
Yeah. I'm going because I really want... I'm going to wait an hour in line for 2 hours, but I want to go to the Giant Bomb panel. I feel like it's going to be really, I don't know. I love those guys and I really feel like it's probably going to be something special. You know, with Ryan Davis passing away a couple months ago, I feel it's like, it's going to be a really,
I think you better investigate getting there even earlier than 2 hours. Cause I have a feeling like PAX loves lines.
Yeah. I mean, I'll keep an eye on it. I'm going to flask it again. I really like, honestly, like I was so upset with Ryan Davis passing away. Like, I rarely get like, I never get upset about celebrities dying, right? This guy was like 30, he was like 32, 33 or something. He's like our age. But like, I listen to that show every fucking week for 3 hours, and I watch, you know, 6 to 10 hours of their content a week, like keep it on in the background at work. And you know, I've met the dude a couple times, like super nice guy. I don't even get that upset when like my family members die. It was just like really weird, like how upset I was. So I don't know. I think it might be oddly cathartic for me to go to the panel. Also, you know, PAX, and I'm going for free.
You can't really beat that, and you don't have to pay for a hotel room.
Yeah. Actually, I'm trying to scalp a ticket for the wife. She's going to come. We're going with another couple. It's weird. My friend's girlfriend is really into games. So he's not super into games. She's into games. I'm into games. My wife is like, whatever. So we're probably going to ditch them.
You trade?
Yeah. Well, not like trade, but, you know, ditch them.
Well, only on a trial basis.
Yeah.
Put your keys into the hat, John.
But I'm probably going to hang out way longer than anybody else, right? Like, yeah. I'm going to go there all fucking day. And they're going to show up. I'm going to scalp a pass for fucking $70 for my wife so she can go for like 3 hours.
Is the concert roster the same as it always is?
Dude, you know me better than that.
I do. One last thing. I got to talk to someone about it because no one else did this except that I know. I saw The World's End yesterday.
I saw that. I saw it on Saturday. Yeah, sure, I saw it Saturday.
Yeah,
I saw it Saturday night.
Oh, no, I saw it Sunday night. What did you think?
It was great, except it just wasn't as good as the... It wasn't as good as the other two films of that group. You know, it's not as good as Hot Fuzz. It's not nearly as good as...
Shaun of the Dead,
Shaun of the
right?
Dead. I didn't even think it was necessarily as good as Paul. It was you know, way more British than Paul, which is super good. But it was really good. It was good, right? But it wasn't great.
I liked it a lot. I certainly think
It sounds like I'm shitting on it, but like those other films were great, and this one was pretty. This one was good. It was real good.
This one's good. I'm gonna forget this one though. I already know that. Like,
I hated it. 7 out of 10.
No, but to compare
fucking
it to
dog shit. 7 out of 10.
So Shaun of the Dead, like, I just don't think you can top it. Like, the perfect combination of all things came together to make that movie like one of my favorite perfect movies. Hot Fuzz in a lot of ways is actually funnier than Shaun of the Dead at points. But it never quite captured it as much as Shaun of the Dead for me. This one, it was like, I almost think it was built up too much.
I kind of forgot about it until like a week ago.
Right.
And then I saw like a post on IO9 or something about it. And I was like,
There wasn't that much marketing for this one.
I don't know if there's, I don't really like looking at box office returns. Like, that's kind of like a shitty behavior.
Yeah.
But like,
let me validate my decision by seeing if everyone else did it.
So there was like, I feel like the theater was, I had to sit on one of the side aisle seats.
Right.
On a Saturday night. I mean, that's a pretty good indication at 8 p.m. Like, theater was probably about 70% full. There were people laughing at things that I didn't laugh at, which I thought was really weird. And then I laughed at a bunch of shit that, like, the theater was fucking silent for.
I had the same experience.
Dude,
I mean,
I think... I wanted to say, like, I think people out here don't get me. But then you just said that you went through the same thing.
No, I think people don't... Like, it's this strange irony that people just don't get the joke. Like the slapstick in this movie people were cracking up about, right?
You know, like... If I had to say one thing, like, the fight scenes were dumb and way too long. Like, fuck? How come Nick Frost is a goddamn superhero ninja?
Well, you know what's weird is, like, I never thought I'd walk out of a movie like this and be like, man, what kind of crazy choreography did they have in this thing, right?
It's like they took the Winchester scene in Shaun of the Dead, made it 20 minutes longer, and choreographed it.
Right.
Like, everything was shot with the same... this was shot very much in the Silmore style as the other two movies. Like,
or,
quick,
like, all
quick
his
cuts,
work.
Loud noises.
Yeah, like, Spaced and all that. Like, it all has, like the beer pouring stuff, right? Like...
Yeah. Wait, I'm looking forward to Ant-Man.
I think I am too. I'm looking forward to a lot of the offbeat Marvel movies that are coming out now.
What else is coming?
Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, dude, are we in Hype Wagon?
I think so.
I don't even really know Guardians. Like, I know it was a Kirby jaunt, right? Like,
it was like a Kirby thing, and then it died and got resurrected recently enough, and they're going with like the new version of it, but it's based off the Kirby stuff.
Yeah. But you can go ahead and say it. You can say why I'm...
Oh, because Vin Diesel is going to be Groot and say one thing throughout the entire movie. You know, Groot is basically a Pokemon, right? He can only say his name?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I read the Wikipedia page after you told me. Dude, I fucking love it. And you know, like, because after you told me, I saw it, obviously, on VinBook.
Oh, I hate you.
What? What?
I hate that because of you, I know what VinBook is.
Are you a member?
No.
Are you kidding me? Like, as much as you like Riddick, you're not one of the closest family of 35 million people I have. Dude, more people are a fan of Vin Diesel on Facebook than currently use MySpace.
Maybe he should start a MySpace. Like they tried to resurrect that and it failed. Maybe with Vin Diesel's celebrity, they can pull it out of the reaches of the earth there.
No doubt in my mind that he could save MySpace.
Dude, they had commercials like a month ago, and then they disappeared. And yeah. I still don't know anyone using that site.
I tried it out when the new one rolled out, and I thought it was going to be my thing. It's just, honestly, like, I don't see why people are trying to make horizontal work on the web.
For tablet, right? For swiping. But, like, most people are still browsing on their computers.
It doesn't, like, if everybody was using the internet on their TV or something, it would almost make sense.
Right.
Anyway.
I think that's consumption this week, John. You want to move on to Game Club? Take a quick booze break and roll on in?
Right.
And we're back with Game Club. John, what is Game Club?
So Game Club is like a book club for games. So Game Club is where you, as the host of the show, pick a game that you and your special guest host, if applicable, play and then dissect like you would a book. Spoilers are free reign, but we take a more critical, analytical look at a game or a book. We've done it with books and movies too, but mostly games.
That sounds like a great explanation of what this is. So this week we played Thomas Was Alone.
Fuck yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
And I hope you used some music from it as the intro for this.
Because
holy shit, man. Music was incredible. The sound was incredible.
This is very high on my list, but hey, if you haven't played this game yet and you don't want to have it spoiled and this one, I think spoilers are actually relevant. So
yeah, but I do think, I don't know. I don't think actually listening to this is going to ruin your enjoyment of the game. I think, goddamn, yeah, play this game.
Yeah. So if you don't want to get spoiled, skip ahead. The show notes will have the timestamp. Anyway, John, this game, the best way I could describe it is it was dripping with precious.
What did I text you? I texted you last night when I was playing it.
I think you texted me squee.
No, not quite. Oh, I think I said this game, .. Wow. Charming as all get out. Like, it's just, it's oozing with fucking charm.
And since the narrator is British, it's British charm.
Yeah, and it's a bit twee. Not squee, twee.
Okay.
But you know what I mean. Like, yes. It's a bit very, very cute for its own cuteness sake. But that, like, quickly fades away when you realize what it is. So I don't know how to frame this conversation.
Well, the technical of it is it's framed in a puzzle platformer, right?
It's a puzzle platformer where you play as a series of rectangles that have different abilities based on their shape and color. And very much they could be graphics from a Atari 2600 game.
Yeah. But don't let that fool you. Like, you know, we get down on pixel art a lot, but this game, like, if you see stills of this game, you'll be like, oh, that's a pixel art game. It couldn't be further from it.
It isn't. And it's so, like, the visual style is so incredibly clean. It's actually really beautiful. And it isn't pixel art at all.
Yeah, it's all vector shapes. They're all very high contrast stuff, but very, very monochromatic high contrast. So it's big blocks of color everywhere. There's a lot of subtlety when you, like, really look at it, like, because in the background there's a lot of shit going on. And, you know, everything is on an angle, which is also interesting. There's no straight platform.
Yeah.
Every level is slightly tilted to the left or to the right. And while you move through levels, like, the camera will come in and come out automatically. It adds, like, a certain aesthetic to the game that, like, there's not too many other games that feel this way.
It has shades of, like, Limbo, I think, to an extent. It's hard to describe, but it is a puzzle platformer. Talking about the mechanics, you know, you sometimes have multiple characters. They all are blocks, and you can switch between them, and you need to, you know, put them in different configurations to solve the puzzles or solve the levels. Then there's the narrative,
right?
So, like, seriously, if you see just saw a screenshot of this game and didn't watch the trailer with the music and the narrator in it, you would have no fucking clue, like, what this is, right?
Like, you might even think that this is, like, a puzzle game where you have to, like a sliding block puzzle thing where you have to rearrange things.
Yeah,
right?
Like, blocks that matter or something. I don't know, something like that. So there's two ways the narrative's told. It's told in the third person. Like, it very much reminds me of this part from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the book, where this, like, whale is willed into existence. And it, in the movie, is pretty cool the way it does. And hopefully you're including it in this show. But there's a narrative talking about how the characters are feeling and what they're saying to each other, or what they're, like, from their perspective. But then there's also the narrative of the big picture is being told through a series of quotes from the people who worked at the company that was creating these simulations.
Right. So as you get into the game and the storyline unfolds, you find out that these guys are, I guess, computer AIs or something comparable to that, that some event happened that gave them sentience. Like, they're now self-aware, and effectively they are stuck in the Matrix or something like that, and they're trying to escape.
They were all a part of these, like, simulations, right? And they acquired sentience?
I think that's the word, right? Self-awareness?
Yeah. Awareness, right?
Right.
So, like, it's super interesting. I actually read, I was reading some, like, amateur reviewer was like, not much to the narrative, not really much resolution, and I wanted to fucking, like, find this person. Because this had one of the most fucking, this had one of the most heart-wrenching I don't know if heart-wrenching is the word. This is one of the most impactful narratives I've experienced in a video game.
Absolutely. And it ran the gamut, too, from, like, very heartfelt to, you know, humorous to, like, it all gets communicated very well. You know, it's funny that you mentioned reviewers. At some point during the first day when I was playing this, it was getting late, and I was like, oh, God, I don't think I have it in me to keep going today. So I Googled, like, you know, how many levels in this game, because everything is done as a level, and there's 100 levels.
Wait, there was 100?
There's 100.
You're shitting me.
No.
Dude, that's crazy. I would have told you there was 8 worlds and, like, I don't know. Blows my fucking mind.
So there's 100 levels. I mean, some of them are very insubstantial, right? Like, the first 10 are, like, training missions.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so, in trying to find out how many levels these are, I invariably stumbled upon, like, some dude's forum post about this game, where it was like, I don't understand. This is the worst game I've ever played. They're just fucking blocks. And I just, you know what? And it was someone complaining about the free copy of the game that he got on PSN. And I'm sitting there like, you know what? Just don't fucking play it, buddy. Just stop.
Like, that's what really breaks my heart. You know, I saw somebody complaining recently. It was like, hey, when are these intellectuals going to stop talking about narrative dissonance in games and blah, blah, blah? It's like, I just want to fucking strangle you. Because I read that in the same day that I get an email. Because, Brendan Keough, remember we interviewed him?
Yeah.
Wrote Killing is Harmless. So, not writing a sequel to the book, but started an imprint for long-form games criticism.
Right.
I'm like, I fucking love that. And then at the same... This is not for you, Call of Duty, bro. If you can't feel, like, you're not... you don't play this. Like, it's not for you.
It's amazing, I can clearly look at most games and go, like, that's not for me. But some people just have no ability to do that.
Well, that was, like, the thing, you know, I ended up watching the ending to The Gods Will Be Watching. I ended up watching it on YouTube,
right.
And this guy was like, oh, yeah, you know, it's pretty fun. You just have to, like, you know, play it like this. And it was like, that, it just misses the fucking point. That game is not fun in the slightest.
Right,
like,
no,
it's not fun. It's part of the point is it's not fun. But, you know, I think, like, this is, I started thinking about it, and I'm like, man, what are games that are like this? And I was like, and the only thing I could think of is the first Portal.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty close parallel. And, you know, there's, besides the fact that we're drawing that conclusion, the game draws that conclusion at some point.
Yeah, there is a reference to where apparently there's cake and it may or may not be a lie or something like that, right? But, like, you know, that was one of the references it made, because that was it makes references to memes at one point, which not well, in a cheesy
one of
way.
The one of the AIs gets like a 12-second glimpse at the internet.
Yeah, and the cats that can't
there's
spell.
There's cats that can't spell, and there's cake, which may be a lie.
Yeah.
I think there might have been a Team Fortress 2 reference or a Half-Life reference in there as well. I don't remember it entirely yet.
I mean, I was thinking about it, and then I started thinking about it. I'm like, what about Portal 2? And then I'm thinking about it, I'm like, Portal 2 is not as good at doing what this game does as this game does.
I think Portal 2 issued that for... pure humor, though. Like,
yeah, there is the thing. There are a few parallels. Like, I think the cleverness of the writing, and the narrative and the story itself. I also think the way it teaches you how to play it, and the way it teaches you, like, the way it the satisfaction from solving a particularly clever puzzle. And none of these are as hard as the hardest puzzles in Portal.
No, not even close. I mean, there's one level that was, like, really difficult, I felt, and then everything else was kind of...
There's a couple that I felt like I didn't solve properly that I weirdly brute-forced.
Yeah, is it the ones where you have guys who are defying gravity? Are those the ones?
I don't know if that was... There was one where I just got them to stick together when they're fighting opposite gravity, and I just inched them across the screen. And I felt like that wasn't the right way.
I don't know, because that's how I did a lot of those puzzles, too.
So I was thinking about this, and I was like, man, if I was a game reviewer and I had, like, a 10-point scale, like, what the fuck would I give this game? And I'm like, I don't understand how you would give this anything.
like a non-applicable.
Like, I don't understand how you would give this game anything less than a 10. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, because this game does everything it sets out to do for itself, right? Like, it hits all its own marks.
It's an amazing, amazing success, and it's wrapped in a clean package. If I had to take half a point off, it'd be because the UI wasn't... You couldn't hit B to go back in the UI.
Right. There was also... I felt like... I played with a keyboard, right?
Oh, I played on my wife's MacBook Air with a Xbox controller plugged into it.
Was the controller responsive? Because I found that the space bar to jump on the keyboard was ever so slightly laggy.
It was a little laggy, and plus I had the computer hooked up to my television, which has some latency issues.
Right.
But I guess if you're going to take, you know, I guess maybe there's a mechanical issue or two, but like, I don't,
Doesn't really affect the overall score, right?
I gotta say, this is one of the my favorite games that we've played.
Yeah, absolutely. And I did not know we were gonna like this as much as we did. We picked this sort of on a whim.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I navigated to the Steam page and I saw the video playing without sound and, you know, saw the box quotes or whatever. I'm like, all right, let's give this a shot. I had no idea what this was gonna be.
Yeah.
And I put it off to the last fucking minute, too.
So some other...
And I'm glad I played it in one sitting. Yeah. My wife came out at 1 a.m. and she was like, what happened to the blocks? Aren't you coming to bed? I'm like, I got to know what happens to the blocks. And she was making fun of me when I finally came to bed. She's like, so what happened to the blocks? And I tried to explain it to her and I was like, right. I sounded like a fucking idiot.
Well, can we talk about the one big plot twist in this game that, like, I didn't even realize it happened until I thought about it.
That all the main characters from the first half of the game die
around level 70. They die.
They sacrifice themselves so that the rest of every other artificial intelligence might escape.
Right. Which it's kind of weird that the game is called Thomas Was Alone and then Thomas is dead.
Well, I think it was a great, I mean, wasn't the title born out of what, like, when they did this, made the prototype version at Game Jam or whatever?
Yeah, this game was initially concepted at a 24-hour Game Jam.
But they, I mean, Thomas Was Alone is the first line of the game, right?
Right. And you start as Thomas, and I think Thomas is the last one to sacrifice himself.
I forget.
They don't really sacrifice themselves. They get, like, eaten by a floating pixel monster.
But then they all, well, the ones that have, like, we'll say powers, which would be, I'm going to forget everybody's name. Laura, the blue one is this, I forget her name, but, like, the ones that can do double, the one that double jumps, the one that can float, like, they sacrifice themselves because of the powers they can pass on, right?
Right.
Man, we must sound like absolute fucking nonsense. Man, that dude, I gotta say, like, that got me. Like, I was like on the verge of tears during that.
Yeah, because they really make you. They really personalize these characters. They are just blocks on the screen, but they give them personalities.
The line with Laura, where she's like, she figures out the spikes are her kryptonite, and none of that rubbish red kryptonite, the proper green radioactive stuff. Fucking, like, I had to put the controller down. I'm like,
bravo, game.
I can't deal with how fucking charming this is right now. It's such a great little package.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, some of the last items on this, the narrator, it's a guy named Danny Wallace. He won an award for his work on this game from a BAFTA award, which is a British Arts Films Television or something like that.
We just call it BAFTA.
Oh, those in the know.
What was his name again?
Danny Wallace.
Yeah, so he fucking deserves this. And, you know, it was only, one guy programmed this.
And then there's a lot of, like, Indiegogo credits at the end, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, one guy composed the score, and by the way, fuck, dude, the music... The music is incredible.
Not even just the music, but the sound design in general. Like, even the jumping noises for each individual block. Just being a simple 8-bit noise, but being done so well.
No, those are like a... Is the Atari 8-bit, or is that a 4-bit? I don't... Like, that sound is an Atari, like, sound. Like, that, like, kind of that jumping noise is...
Like the Pong
Yeah.
Ball hitting the
paddle. It's very
stuff.
Much a sound that the Atari was capable of making it. And it's juxtaposed with this like incredible ambient soundtrack.
Right.
Which is now like, I love to listen to that kind of music, like the soundtrack to like Mirror's Edge, like when I'm like working really hard, like crunching at work and need to like zone in. That's the kind of thing I listen to. And it's just like, I was like, fuck, this is great.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I couldn't recommend this game enough to people who have, you know, more of an interest in games than just Call of Duty. If someone wants, like, really to know games as art, I think that this is the go-to title I would show them now.
Yeah, and I think it's actually, I mean, it's mechanically sound, so it's not just, it's not like us playing, like, what was the one? Oh, and it totally reminds me of the God, Stanley Parable.
Right.
Right? It's similar to the Stanley Parable. Like
Stanley
with
is a little, it's a little short.
It's also not really a game. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to make that distinction.
But
you
it's trying to do a different thing for a different audience. I think this one's more wide-reaching.
This isn't like us doing our games as art discussion where we're talking about Dear Esther and shit like that. This is still a mechanically sound game. Just like the total package is fucking incredible.
Yeah. If you have a friend who hasn't played this yet, I highly, highly recommend giving it a whirl. It's available on PSN. I don't on Vita as well. I don't think it's on Xbox, but also on Steam. And if you keep your eyes open for those indie packages, inevitably it'll come up again.
This is worth whatever they're selling it for. Like, it makes me want to give them more money. Like, I don't remember which indie package I got it in, but fuck, I would give them more money right now.
The rumor I read, and I don't know how valid this is, but someone told me that they were going to add levels, like a side story to the PSN version, where your character has like a jetpack or something like that. Like, it's a flying piece.
I would like to know a little bit more about Gray.
Gray was a bastard. He was the evil one, right?
Yeah, he's a total dick.
But I don't know why he was evil. Anyway, there's a lot of ambiguity. I think there's a lot of stuff that you can read into while you play this game and read its storyline. And I think it's something that you definitely have to experience yourself. So if you haven't played it, definitely run out and try it.
Yes.
All right. Anyway, with that, we're going to come right back with the outro.
It is important to note that suddenly, and against all probability, a sperm whale had been called into existence several miles above the surface of an alien planet. And since this is not a naturally tenable position for a whale, this innocent creature had very little time to come to terms with its identity. This is what it thought as it fell.
Ah! Whoa! What's happening? Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What do I mean by who am I? Okay, calm down, get a grip now. Ooh, this is an interesting sensation. What is it? It's a sort of a tingling in my... Well, I suppose I better start finding names for things. Let's call it, tail. Yeah, tail. And hey, what's this roaring sound? Whooshing past what I'm suddenly going to call my head. Wind. Is that a good name? It'll do. Yay, this is really exciting. I'm dizzy with anticipation. Or is it the wind? There's an awful lot of that now, isn't there? And what's this thing coming towards me very fast? So big and flat and round, it needs a big wide-sounding name like ow, ound, round, ground. That's it, ground. I wonder if it'll be friends with me. Hello, ground.
Curiously, the only thing that went through the mind of the bowl of petunias as it fell was, oh, no, not again. Many have speculated that if we knew exactly why the bowl of petunias had thought that, we should know a lot more about the nature of the universe than we do now.
It's outro time, John. It's so hard. No, not doing that.
Ew, gross, dude. I gotta say, like, I really probably shouldn't have come back so much recently, like, because that going away episode, like, was so nice of you guys to, like, our view to put together and get our friends to call in.
And now you're that weird guy who hangs out all the time.
I'm like Jordan.
You're like sleeping
Michael Jordan
on the couch.
Coming back.
So,
I swear I won't be on future episodes as much. Maybe it was just the going to every 2 weeks I needed. I don't know. We'll see.
Whatever. In any event, we're Game Club next week. We're going to play. I hate you so much. Are you really going to let it count down the whole fucking way? Thanks, John. For Game Club, we're going to play Overlord, which has been described to me by Mr. John Anderson as a dark Pikmin. Don't you dare dubstep gum me. Don't you dare.
You can't turn it off once you start it.
John, I was turned off a long time ago by this. Oh, I can still hear it in the background. I want a dubstep gun, though.
You should get this game.
I should. I just want the gun and the button. So we're playing Overlord next week. Big shout-outs to Perpetual Geek Machine and Cross Border Gaming. Next week, I am going to be joining Harold on his new webcast podcast show, Harold and Friends.
H-Bomb and Friends.
H-Bomb and Friends, yes.
Are they not doing cross-border anymore?
I don't know.
Way behind.
I haven't asked, and I haven't kept up for a while because I've been so crazed with work. But I'm going to find out next week when I'm on his show.
I'm going to get back caught up. I'm going to get caught up, guys, I swear.
Just catch it all up. And this one's going to be a webcast, so it should be interesting. If you want to email us at on the show, send us a letter, whatever, you can reach us at letters@fantasticneighborhood.com or call us on the hotline at 720-HOODIE-6. That's 720-466-3436. You can also find us on Twitter at Fantastic Neighborhood. You can find John at Hey John Anderson.
Don't follow me.
You can find me at Proto Addict. You can find us on Tumblr at fantasticneighborhood.tumblr.com. You can find
check us out oregonjohn.tumblr.com. That's OregonJohn.tumblr.com.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/fantasticneighborhood. You can find us on our show site at fantasticneighborhood.com. And you can download the show and rate us in iTunes. Please rate us on iTunes. That was a mouthful, John. Like your mom.
That's not cool, man.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. I apologize. John, are we done here? Whoa, 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 whoa.
Okay, nope.
Nope. Isn't that bad?
The music, bro.
It took me a while to find that loop.
No, 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 no. Oh, God, no. We'll be right back.
I'm just feeling. I'm Fred Earhart.
And I'm Miley Cyrus.
And you're listening to Fantastic Neighborhood, episode 76. Hi, Miley.
Hey, twerk it. No, okay, we could do this again if you want.
We could be better than this, right? Okay. You can't stop. We're gonna celebrate. Hold on, I'm putting an edit point here. Hi, Delilah. Come say hi to John. Come give me a hug. I see you're sad because you came home at 10:45.
Hey there, Delilah. What's it like in New York City?
We just started a little bit ago. It'll be brief. Okay, there's my edit point.